Hallelujah. It's so good to see you tonight. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do in our lives. It's good to see Sister Nailin and Francisco family. Not seen you for 2 weeks, I think. But good to see you tonight. And good to see you, all of you, this wonderful evening that the Lord God has made possible for us all. You know, once in a while I want to complain about this cold and wonder what I did wrong that God sent me to this cold. Then I'm reminded that this is the best place to be because this is where God wants me right now. Amen? And so I thank God for this day, for this place, and for winter. Amen. Winter is good. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, we've been talking about and sharing about love, the language of love. And we started out talking about the fact that God has given to every one of us love, that the issue is not that we don't have love, it's the issue is that we have not walked in the love that God has given to us. God has given to every one of us love. Just like God has given to every one of us faith, God has given to everyone the measure of faith. So also God has given to every one of us love. For the Bible tells us that before the foundations of the earth, Christ died. And that death was an expression of God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's a very interesting statement, that should not, meaning you don't have any reason to perish. If you perish, it's going to be because you chose to perish. If you lose eternal life, it's going to be because you chose it. But I'm going to do everything to make certain that you don't make the wrong decision. So God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is forever. The Bible says God is married to the backslider. That's how committed God is. God is not an adulterer or an adulteress that fails to stay committed. He stays committed. He's committed to you. He's committed to me. And no matter how far gone we may think we have gone, God some way, somehow, sticks with us. He's still there, waiting and waiting patiently for us to make the right decision and say, okay, God, I'm tired of this mess. Here I am. Take me. Do something with this. You know, cracked pots let out the light. Let me say that again. Cracked pots let out light. I'll say it a third time. Cracked pots let out light. You say, I'm so cracked, I'm such a mess, and God says, perfect! Now my light can shine through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will work with any man, with any woman, with any person that will let him work with them. Doesn't matter how far you've gone, God is still there. He's the God who said to Judas that's about to betray him, my friend, what can I do for you? He knew Judas just betrayed him. He says, my friend. He didn't say, my enemy. He says, my friend. Because God is always on the right side of good. Let me say it again. God is always on the right side of good. Let me say it the third time. God is always on the right side of good. He's not on the bad side. He's always on the good side. And when you think, oh, my life is just a total mess, God says, God causes all things to work together for good. But to whom? To them that love God. To them that have been called according to his purpose. And so this morning we talked about the fact that God, who has shed abroad in our hearts, also brings us to a place of inheritance. That the inheritance of the promises of God, the benefits of the kingdom of God, come because we haven't received the love of God. Love God back. And those who love God back, they get the extra. And I want the extra. I am not just interested in going to heaven. I want everything that God has called me to do to be rewarded with these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that everything that I have done, not one of it be burnt. You see, because you can do a lot of stuff and it get burnt up. You're still saved. You're still saved, but no benefit. You know, when we think about heaven, we think there's not going to be hierarchy in heaven. Oh, yeah. There's going to be hierarchy in heaven. I don't have time to go through that today, but there are levels in heaven. Now, the skid row in heaven, the poor man's quarters in heaven, is better than the richest man on the planet. But you will still know I'm in the poor quarters. You will still know it. I don't want to be in the poor quarters. I've been in the poor quarters long enough here. Not on the other side. I'm going to be on the right side. Plush, 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 plush. Because there's reward in God. Amen? God rewards those who diligently seek him. Who seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added unto them. I want that. And that doesn't just happen. It happens because you know the love of God. You've received it. And now you are sharing that love of God. How do we share the love of God? We share the love of God with God, about God, by sharing his love with each other. When I preach the gospel, I am loving God. When I witness to somebody, I am loving God. When I invite somebody to come to church with me, I am loving God. That's part of loving God. Why? Because you're saying what Jesus Christ did cannot be wasted. It must accomplish what the Word of God was sent for. And who's the Word? Jesus is. Jesus is the Word of God. And every time you share Jesus with somebody, you're sharing the Word of God with that person. And you are also expressing the love of God. God so loved the world. So when the person receives God's love, because you shared it, you've also said, God, I love you. And I thank you. My expression of thanksgiving is shared in my willingness to share the love of God with somebody else. Amen? Now, having said that, come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, you may say, why are you going to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You'll see in a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to take it from verse 1 through verse 7. It says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life. What is this promise of life? This eternal life. This eternal life, which is the preaching of the gospel, which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on and says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve. Watch these words. I thank God whom I serve. I thank God whom I serve from. Somebody say from. I have been serving God from my forefathers. Your forefathers, were you there? No. But because they were serving God, and I'm serving God, I am in the same river. So, my faithfulness to God is going to impact my children and my children's children until Jesus Christ our Lord comes. There is a pathway. What you and I do matters. And our love for God matters. It's going to impact somebody in one way or the other. He says, I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the unfeigned, not messed up, not corrupted faith that is in thee, I see it in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Louis, and thy mother, Eunice. So this thing is going down the pike. And I'm persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what God has given to you, not fear. Why don't I share the gospel? Fear. They're going to call me names. God says, I didn't give you that spirit. I gave you the spirit of power. I gave you the spirit of love. And I gave you a sound mind. Not a depressed, confused mind. I gave you my mind. The Bible says the mind of Christ. Amen? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. See that? Nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This grace was given to you before the world began. You've got something that is lasting. The love of God is lasting. It will impact you. It will impact your children. It will impact your children's children. And as long as you don't lose sight of it, it doesn't matter what your son or your daughter is doing right now. If you stay faithful, that faithfulness is going to touch them. It's going to touch them. It's going to impact them. It's going to bring about change in their lives also. This love of God, this grace of God, before the world began, before there was anything here, the grace of God, God was ready already. He had already released grace. He had already released what was necessary for us to be faithful. Why did we need grace? Because God knows that we will face challenges and that we need His help to come through. Before you faced any problem, God knew about it, and God gave to you what you need to overcome it. Any challenge, anything that comes your way that wants to stop you has already been stopped by the power of God resident inside of you. And so when you and I face any challenges in life, we must come with this understanding: God has given me what it takes to go through this thing. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond that which I'm able to handle. He has provided a way of escape. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying there is no way you can lose. There is no way I can lose. Losing is a choice. I'll say it again. Losing is a choice. It is because I did not harness what God has made provision for and used it in wisdom to accomplish the heartbeat of God and the purpose of God. God has never gone, oops, I didn't think about that. No. Absolutely no way. God sees everything full circle, right through to eternity past and eternity present and eternity future. He saw everything and He's calibrated every detail. But you still have a will. You still have the ability to make the right decision or make the wrong decision. Every day I make right decisions and I make wrong decisions. We all do. The thing is, when you make the wrong decision, repent. And say, God, that thing I just did there, that thing I just said there, that thing I just touched there, not right. I repent. I didn't handle that situation correctly. And right there, that detour leads you back to the main path. And what leads you back every time, your true north is love. Let me say it again. Your true north is love. I'll say it a third time. Your true north is love. So whatever you and I are doing, if love is not the defining factor, the love of God, the love of me and the love of my neighbor, if that is not the defining factor, I've gone on a detour. But when I choose and say, you know, what I just said, what I just did, what I just thought, that is not love, I repent of that. Straightens out. And you continue. Your God positional system is love. If you don't love God, you keep on making the wrong decisions. If you don't love you, you keep on making the wrong decisions. If you don't love other people, you keep on making the wrong decisions. It's called self-centeredness, selfishness. When you're selfish and self-centered, you don't care about anybody. You don't care about what is going to happen. You don't care about nothing. You will end up nothing. But making the God decision does not mean that you go scot-free, pain-free, and whatever else. Sometimes it creates tribulations around you. And your love for God, and your love for people, and your love for yourself cause you to harness this love of God, focus this love of God, and cut through the situation that's trying to block you in life. You've got to draw on the love of God. Draw on the love that you have for yourself and the love for others. And Jesus, our Lord, said, those three things, they are equal. Love for God, love for me, love for others. When they are born out of the true heartbeat of God, they are the same thing. It's an interesting thing that you can be loving God and loving yourself and loving other people and it'd be so pure. That tells me this, that when what I call love is only satisfying one realm, it is not true love. If what I do is all about me, not thinking about how it's going to affect you, it's not true love. Because true love does not seek self-protection at the expense of other people. When I love you, then I will not be protecting myself at your expense. It's amazing what people do. How many lies they will tell just to protect themselves. Are you with me? It's amazing what not walking in love will do, because people want power. I want power. So I'm going to do everything just to get power. Forget about truth. Forget about fairness. Forget about anybody getting hurt here. You lock in and you don't listen anymore because you want power. You want position. You want money, prosperity, anything. Anything. Where's the love? When we walk in the love of God, we do what the Lord said. You see, if you love me, pick up your cross, follow me. Come die with me. What, if I come die with you, what's going to happen? You're going to be dying for everybody. I was intrigued the last few months listening to what was happening down south with the impeachment situation with Trump, and just listening to the arguments that people make. And I wondered, this person comes and tells their story, and if Oh, yes, oh, yes, impeach, impeach, impeach. And the other person comes and tells the Asturian, say, oh, no, not impeachable, not impeachable. They say, there's got to be a truth somewhere here. But the fact is, nobody's listening to it, the other person. And when there's no love and all you want is power, how can corrupt things? Then you do whatever it is you got to do just to get your own way. And we do that every day. How do I get my own way? How do I become the top dog? How do I become number one? And when that is your passion, you are definitely not going to walk in love. Because if you love, then you want to make other people greater. My heart's desire ultimately is this: that every one of us accomplish the God purpose, what God has desired for every one of us. And if there's anything I can do to help it happen, to do that. A brother came to me once and said, how is it that you are opening this door for us and opening that door for us? I said, well, I see what God has in you. And if you accomplish your purpose, I've accomplished God's purpose. Before I came here tonight, I was thinking about somebody. I said, you know what? I need to take this person next time I go to Nigeria. I need to take him to this particular church so that he can play his instrument there, because I believe that he possibly might be the best saxophonist in the world. And he needs to go to that church. I need to take him to my friend. The place I'm thinking about taking him to, they have a church that seats 100,000 people. But I want to take this guy. He doesn't even have a clue. But I've been thinking about it all day. I should do this. I should do this. I should take this person there. I should take him there. His gift is needed there. Did he pay me? No. I don't want anything from him, but I know he's got something. When you know somebody's got something, you do something to help them. I thank God for the pastors that stand here with Mama and I. Not one of them has received a dime from this church. Say, well, we are paying you a salary, or we're paying you a gas bill, or we're doing this. Nobody. They are here. They're serving. They're trying to help carry the vision. Well, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Whatever I can do to help others, I must do. And what others can do to help me, they must do. Together we help each other. My dad used to say, two hands wash better than one. Yeah. Two hands wash better than one. And the language of love says, what can I do to help you become the best you that you have been called to be? And for that to happen, you don't have a place for fear or envy or jealousy or covetousness. You're not there to compete with each other. You're there to be the best you can be, to help them be the best that they can be, so that we all can glorify God together. You see, because when the water rises on the seashore, all the boats that are docked rise. This is not about one person. You bring your best to the table to help everything grow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me go a little bit further. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up from verse 1. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning to read from verse 1. And that's where we're going to wrap it up for today. And I'll continue with this discuss on love in the days to come. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of what? Of love. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same what? The same love. Being of one accord, being of one mind. Having the same love, being present tense, continuous, of one accord. One accord, united, of one mind, one purpose. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't do anything through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Wow. This is the language of love. Esteem the other person. Celebrate them. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This evening, before coming in, thinking about this particular brother as possibly the world's greatest saxophonist. And I don't use that lightly, because this guy can hold a note for 5 minutes, one note. He can hold it, that one note, for the next 5 minutes. You'll be tired of waiting for him to stop. That's how talented he is. He's amazing. The other thing I was thinking about, his son in this house, I forgot to bring the book, wrote a book called Being Human. I wrote a foreword to it. An excellent book. And I was thinking, got to find a time to interview him in his service on this book and just promote this book. Is he going to give me a dime for it? No. But he's done an excellent work, and therefore it needs to be promoted. And whatever it is I can do to help him promote it, I am going to do. Come alongside and say, hey, folks, this is a good book. Read this. Because it's not about me. It's about him. It's about the Lord. At your workplace, what are you doing to come alongside somebody to succeed? You know this person got some stuff. How can you help them become the best they can be? You know what happens? When you help somebody else succeed, you succeed also. If you put the lead on another person's progress, you're going to have to stay there to keep the lead down. You'll be stuck there. You want to be free? Help them to be free. You want to get ahead? Help somebody else get ahead. If I've got something that will help things move smoothly, then I must contribute it so that things move smoothly. There is something inside of you that God can use. And the only way it's going to come out is because you love God, you love other people, as you love yourself. If you want somebody else to help you succeed, why don't you spend your time thinking about how you can help somebody else succeed? If you don't stay in my way and block me, try to stop me from getting ahead, we might run faster and get where we want to get quicker. But you know what many times people do? Oh, who's running behind me? That person's coming too fast. Let me block him. And the time you use in trying to block them, time is gone. And somebody else might just come squeaking through by the corner and overtake you guys while you're busy striving. Why don't you just cooperate? Loving God causes us to cooperate. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't focus on what I'm going to do for myself. Watch out for others. How can I help them? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This was a mind that was also in Christ Jesus, who being present tense continuous in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Why? God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. Who will I send? Send me. I'm willing to be the Lamb of God. Jesus came to administer the vision of the Father. And though he was God and is equal with God, he humbled himself to be a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want the vision of the Father to be manifest. God is saying the same thing to you and I today. If you love me, are you willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that somebody else's life is changed? What are you willing to do? Are you in faith only for what you can get? And there are people who come to church for that. Give me, give me, give me. Perform something for me, sing better for me, make me feel good, make me happy. Is that your purpose? Is that your motivation? Are you about, you know, there's this
fellow worker at my place of work. She's struggling with so much. Let me have coffee with her. Let me invite her to my home. Let me do something and share the love of God with her or with him. And if she accepts it, the devil will lose this one. I'm going to spend my time praying for this person. You focus on that person. Rather than praying for, oh God, bless me and my children, you focus your attention on praying, God, do something for my friend. Do something. She's struggling, or he's struggling. God, do something. Touch that child. Touch that husband. Touch that parent. Touch, just do something. Or is it just about me, 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 me? Look at how blessed I am. Do you care? Do I care? Because if I care, then I am not going to focus on just me, myself, and I. I've got to look beyond my world and see other people. You're in church today. The Lord's spoken something to you. You say, you know, I have a body that needs to hear this thing that this man's talking about. I'm going to make sure that that body of mine comes with me. They need to hear some things. I like what I heard today. I'm going to bring somebody else. That's how we go and we win souls. We come to church. Oh, that was a great sermon. I'm really blessed. But nobody else hears about it. That's not how it works. Jesus humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God, this is God's response now, because he's operating in love, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. He humbled himself, and God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, in every realm. He has a name. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How did this happen? That he has this name. And the same thing will happen to every one of us as we humble ourselves and desire to see the will of God done. God gives you a name. He exalts you. He lifts you up. He lifts you up. He raises you up. As he did with Paul. These guys went about trying to, the sons of Sceva, trying to cast out demons. And the demons said, Paul, I know. Peter, I know. Who art thou? And beat these seven guys and ran them out naked. You can be such an individual when you're in service to the Lord that devils recognize you. I was in New York many years ago. And I'm walking from one of my spiritual daughters, a Filipino lady, was hosting us. And we'd gone to her office, and She did some skin, she's a dermatologist kind of a thing, and gave us all this special treatment. And so I'd finished my treatment. I decided to go on a walk, and I'm walking through this mall area. And there's a guy, I've never been in this area before. There's this guy. Hey, Bishop Mike, what are you doing here? Look at this devil here. I was in Jerusalem, in the old city, with a group of people walking like this. And there's a demon-possessed man. Hey, Bishop, Mike, what are you doing here? Look at this one. Even in Jerusalem, too. When you are in service, even demons recognize. God gives you a name. You are empowered by God. The one thing you cannot afford to do is operate in self-centered selfishness, living for me, myself, and I. You got to love, period. And the one thing the devil wants you and I not to have in our lives is not loving. So he wants to disenfranchise every one of us from loving. So Paul says, let nothing be done in strife and vainglory. Don't do it. You got to have the mind of Christ. It's a mind of service. How can I be of help to you? How can I assist you? What can I do to help the giftings of God in your life come up? That's where it is at, saints. That's where it is at. And that means, for me as a minister of the gospel, I have no time to be politically correct, because that's not love. Love is saying the truth, but saying it in love. Not condemning people, not trashing people, but letting them know it doesn't matter how trashy you might be, there's a God who loves you, who cares about you, who can turn everything around. He can start you afresh today. That is our assignment, every one of us. Preach the gospel. Let the light of God shine through you. Say, I'm not good enough. I'm so cracked. That's perfect. That's very good. Cracked pots let out the light. Don't wait to be, I'm so perfect. I claim perfection by faith. But every day I look at me and say, yes, this is perfection is by faith. I can see you. Go ask my wife whether I'm perfect. She'll tell you. She'll say, yes. Let's talk about that again. Go ask my children. Oh, yeah, he's perfect, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in the sight of God, I'm perfect. And I claim what he says. Whatever any man says, that's their talk. I believe what God says. He says, I'm perfect. I say, I am perfect. What about you? Yeah, you're perfect to be used of God. Cracked pot, light shining through you. You're perfect. So accept it. And just love people. If you think you deserve to be loved, love other people, fault and all. Fault and all. Because that's how I expect to be loved. I want people to love me because I am so amazing. I want them to love me, period. Because the day that I'm not amazing, what are you going to do with me? Throw me off? I don't want anybody throwing me off and dumping me. I reject you. the stone that the builders rejected got picked by God. When I go with you to Israel this November, I'm going to take you right to Golgotha. You know, Golgotha, the place of the skull, was a stone quarry that they rejected. They didn't like the stones there anymore. That's where Jesus went to go, to die. Because he was that stone that was rejected. And he's going to be the chief cornerstone. See, Pastor, what are you saying to me tonight? I'm saying, don't sweat it. Accept the love of God. And accept other people. Accept you. Accept change. It can be done. It has been done. God did it for you, and he did it for me. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we receive your love. The language of love is the language of acceptance. It is not tolerating that which is wrong. It's accepting the fact that certain things are wrong and recognizing that there is power made available to bring about the change that is necessary. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your word. And we say, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And let your purpose be established in our lives. We surrender our lives to you, O Most High. Be exalted in us, with us, through us. May your name be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Is there anyone here tonight? Say, you know, Pastor, I've heard about this love of God and I want to give my life to God. I want to turn my life over to God. I see the areas in my life that are not the way they should be. But if God is willing, as you've said, to accept me and to start something afresh with me, I'm game. I'll give him my life and see where all of this goes from here. If that's you, I want to pray with you tonight before you leave. I want you to know that God truly, 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 without a shadow of a doubt, loves you. And if you think that your life is worthless, he thinks differently. And he wants to take on that challenge. A challenge to be the one that helps you through this experience so you can enjoy the fullness of life. If you hear today say, you know, Pastor, I'd given my life to the Lord in the past, but I'm backsliding. Well, God is married to the backslider and he can turn that around too. Whatever it is you desire in God today, if you want that change and you want to turn your life around by giving it to God, just raise your right hand. I'd like to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. See those hands. I see this hand. I see that hand. Well, praise the Lord. I thank God for all these hands that are raised. Now, let's do something. You know, I love weddings because weddings, the bride and the groom get to stand before the priest. And at this time, I want you to do your bridal march, so to speak. Come stand right here in front of me, because the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He is the bridegroom, and you're going to be the bride, the one that he's going to get hitched to right here, right now. I'd like to invite you to come stand here with me. Come on, quickly. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't God wonderful? I thank God for all these wonderful people. Oh my. Tears coming down. Exciting. Welcome, saints. I want to thank God for every one of you. I want to thank God. I celebrate you. I celebrate you, every one of you. Because your life will never be the same. God is going to use your lives in amazing ways. Standing before me tonight are ministers of the gospel. Some of you are going to preach this gospel. You're going to open your home up and teach the word of God. You say, Pastor, I don't know much about the word of God. But I'm telling you, you're going to know so much about the word of God. The little that you've got is going to impact so many lives. And I thank God. I celebrate the goodness of God in your lives. And I thank God that the strongholds of darkness that have been holding you down are shattered. You did not come here by accident, not at all. You're here because God brought you here, because God has a plan and an agenda that is greater than what you can ever imagine. He's going to use your life in amazing ways to terrorize the forces of darkness. I celebrate the goodness of God in your lives. God is good. I want the saints to rise with me, and I want you to repeat after me these words. Say, Lord God, I give you my life, all of it. From now on, it belongs to you. Take it and do what you will with it. I receive your love. Let your love deliver me from everything that is wrong. I am right now a new person. The old is passed away. All things are now new in my life. Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me and making me a new person. Thank you, Father. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive your Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit of the living God. 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 Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Not only do we celebrate you here, heaven is celebrating you. You are celebrities. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen, amen. I'm going to have Pastor Choice, if you don't mind. Pastor Choice is going to meet with you briefly and share a gift with you right on the side there. Okay, she'll give you a nice book and stuff and just share some things with you. Thank you so very much. Love you guys. Amen. Well, thank God for what he's doing, for the lives that have been changed week in, week out. All to the glory of God. Amen. Let us honor God at this time with our giving. God is blessed you. This is a time to bless his holy name as an expression of thanksgiving. To just say, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of giving. And God will greatly bless you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.